Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. I, of course, am Brian Wampler. Back again today for part two with Travis Feaster. Hopefully you heard last week's episode with Travis, part one. If you haven't stopped what you're doing, go check it out. Today, we talk about Vince Gill and, you know, a story about meeting Vince Gill for the first time. We talk about what it's like working with different artists in Nashville and, you know, just how it can be kind of surreal, but how some of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. And we talk about Charles Whitfield a little bit. His shop burnt down, but he's back up and going, so kudos to him. And then we talk about some other friends in the pedal business and some interesting things going on with those guys as well. So let's get right into it. Maybe your thoughts on what it was like working with your guitar heroes?
Oh, like from working here and stuff?
Yeah, like you know, and looking back and... I don't even know if that's changed anything in your life. It would maybe, like...
It was a cool experience. It's probably the one thing I miss the most.
Like, because you went into it in one way, and you came out the other side with a totally different perspective.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I see what you're saying. That most of these guys are just gear nerds. Because the ones we dealt with were.
Some of them.
You know? Other... Well, if we weren't dealing with... If they weren't gear nerds, we were dealing with their management.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like... I can't think of anybody in particular. Like, for instance, Keith Urban. He's a gear guy, mm-hmm. but not like Brad Paisley gear guy. You know, it's like Brad were like, yeah, come on up. I want to see the stuff. And then he'll invite you up to come to do all this to where.
Yeah, Mr. Here, stick these earbuds in your ears.
Yeah.
But Brad, let's get your earwax. Oh,
you got to do it. But no, I mean,
haven't washed my hands, so use the bathroom either.
Yeah, I know, right?
Here, play my guitar.
I know, and I was thinking, man, he's putting a lot of faith in me and my ears right now. Damn, it did sound fantastic. But I think he liked me because I kind of made fun of him. And when because Justin's the utility guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a super nice guy, but yep. You know, he walked by and said, is that your new guitar? Oh, I'm not bringing that one out. That's pre-war, man. It's like a 1940-something. Well, how was that one, Brad? A 55? Oh, yeah. That piece of junk.
Piece of crap.
And then as soon as I said, I was like, oh, no, I just made fun of Brad Paisley. Uh-oh, I'm fired. You know? But the one thing I do think is cool about that, the one thing I like, and I'm going to sound like a kiss-ass here to you, but the one thing that I appreciated most out of that whole experience, Brian, was the fact that you trusted me without even knowing me, really. Because, I mean, I just started, you know, we became friends through this. We weren't friends before this. I was just right. A dude that came to...
You just like, hey, dude, I got your phone analog delay.
Yeah. I was a dude that responded to a Facebook ad, and then...
Yeah, and it was between you and Chris Presley.
Yeah. Right? Oh, God.
Which is another friend. We got to get Chris out here one time to do this.
Oh, my God. It'd be amazing.
So Chris is like, you're such an a-hole, man.
Yeah. he kept saying, you know, like, it should have been me. It should have been me. And then there's a Toby Keith song called Should Have Been Me.
Should have been me.
And he would he would roll up to my house blasting, it should have been me. You. That's how I hear Toby Keith. Sorry. And we just probably got, I'm sorry. I take it all back.
And that's how the Nashville market hated us.
Yeah. Or loved us.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite things, though. Mm-hmm. What is that song? It's an intro. It may be that song.
I love that song.
No, it starts down, 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 down. Oh, man, it's a great guitar tone.
You got a guitar out here somewhere.
It's the video where he's standing on the football field, and the whole song is like, I bet you feel like an idiot. What's the name of that song? It's the video to where the whole song is about, like, I bet you wish you were still with me, jerk, or whatever.
How do you like me now?
How do you like me now? Yes.
How do you like me now?
How you like me now? No. But you're laughing because there's some truth in it. But anyways, I'll never forget that song came on when we were going to Cincinnati for something. I forget.
You and I?
Yeah, me and you were going to. We were going to Cincinnati.
It was like a Brad Paisley concert or something?
No, I think it was like Winter Jam or something like that.
We went to Winter Jam?
We went to Winter Jam, yeah. We went to two of them.
I remember doing the one with Tim, with Toby Mac, Tim Rosenau.
That was here. Yeah. But remember Cortland from Cortland Clement? Killer player. I think he plays with Johnny Lang now. But
why is that not ringing a bell?
But if you knew, yeah. But anyway, I think we were in Cincinnati. Because remember I did push-ups and I had you time me on the way to...
Oh, yes, Starbucks. I do remember that. Yeah, I forget
why we were there. But anyway, that song came on the radio. I was like, oh, man, I love that tone. And you just looked at me straight as an arrow. And you just looked at me. You go, you're welcome. And I immediately knew that that was Brent Mason. Yeah. And that was a modified blues driver.
That was a modified blues driver. Sit on the shelf in there. I still got that pedal. Yeah.
You're welcome. Because
that's my contribution to America.
How in the world could I ever say anything back to that? You can't say anything back to that. You know, it was like the perfect response. You're welcome.
You'd be like, yeah, your choice in diodes has nailed the freaking thing. Yeah.
But no, that cracked me up. You're welcome.
Oh, man.
But no, you know, going back to like, you know, talking about like meeting your heroes, a lot of the guys are like, like I said, it's the trust you put in me. That was the coolest thing because you didn't know me, man. I could have been one of the, oh my God, you're Brad Paisley. You know, I could have fawned all over him.
You could have, you know? You could have like knocked him out of the chair, like, dude, don't say that.
Yeah, I could have been, yeah.
Inside story. So like, we were at a dinner with Brent Mason and stuff, and Brent said something to a waiter, and like Travis.
Can I tell the story?
Yeah, yeah.
About the time I slapped Brent Mason in the arm. I doubt he even remembers it, you know? But it was Brent Mason's birthday.
Yes, it was a birthday.
And it was a milestone birthday.
Yes. Yep.
And we went out to Fogo de Chao or something like that.
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's. Yeah.
Pretty much the same thing.
Fogo de Chao.
Yeah. Fogo de Chang's. But we're at P.F. Chang's, and this waiter comes in, and we're in Nashville, keep in mind. We're in Nashville.
Right, so every waiter, like, plays guitar, and like, oh, dude, that's Brent Mason.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Except for the one waiter
that we had.
So he was like, so what are you guys doing in town?
And so what you guys doing in town? Yeah. Like, all right, so you're not from here.
Yeah. So, but it was one of those things, we're like, oh, you know, well, this guy lives here, you know, pointing to Brent and his lovely wife. And like, they live here and we're here for, you know, work, but we're good friends and, you know, it's his birthday, whatever.
Right.
So he was like, well, what do you guys do? And Brent goes, I'll play a little bit of guitar.
Right. I know a little guitar every now and then.
And, you know, of course I'm kind of giggling at that.
You're giggling,
right?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was like,
like, right. Sitting next to Elvis and him saying, I sing here and there.
I sing a little bit, huh? But so he's like, I play a little guitar. And he's like, oh, man, I had a guitar. Just sold it, though. And Brent, you know, Brent's a super nice guy.
Then down there.
Maybe to a fault. I don't know. But, I mean, you know, here's a guy that, you know, Brent didn't
know. Super approachable. Yeah. No ego. Like, he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was like, oh, what kind of guitar do you have? He goes, man, I don't even know. It was this old metal guitar, man. It was made out of metal, and it had looked like a hubcap in it. And I think it was from, like, the 1920s or something like that. He's talking about a National Resophonic, right? And you, me, and Brent, we obviously get it. You know, we know what he's talking about. And he's like, yeah, man, I just sold, got like $150 out of it, man. And then Brent, knee-jerk reaction, starts going, man, you got... And I slapped him in the arm.
He was going to say, you got
ripped off.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, you got ripped off. And I slapped him in the arm, and he kind of looked at me, and I just gave him a look like, let him think that this dude. And so after he left.
You will ruin his life.
Exactly. So goes to somebody, and I'm not trying to sound condescending, but to somebody that's bragging about making $150, If he knew that he gave away thousands, that would crush him.
Right.
You know, and it's just all relative.
Right.
So I don't mean that to sound condescending or anything, but
right. It's like what he thinks he got a good deal.
That's what, and that's what I told Brent. I said, I was like, man, the dude is pumped, man. He thinks that he got $150 for nothing.
Right.
He did zero work and got $150. He is pumped. Let's let him live that.
It's like, I found this old document in this cave, and it's got all this weird Aramaic writing and stuff. Yeah, I don't understand it, but if you give me $50,
yeah, like, exactly,
we'll call it good.
So it was like,
but that was the original writings of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Those were the Elder Scrolls, bro. That's a Jesus thing, right? Elder Scrolls, I think so. Max.
Sure.
And I say that because Max is like, Max knows his religion, man. He does. Max is a smart dude when it comes to that stuff. Whatever, we got.
He's like, there's no such thing as elder writings.
Yeah, he'd know, man. But no, so it was so funny. But like I said, going back to it, you had no idea if I was a fanboy, you know? And you know, I like Brad Paisley. I love his playing. I like his brand. I think his personality is great. Mm-hmm. He's very witty. He comes off as witty as he does in his tunes. But, you know, for instance, and you know, I can't even think. Man, I met so many people. I can't even think. You know what I mean? I got to meet Carl Verhaen.
Yeah.
I got
Carl
to meet
is the coolest, not the coolest, but definitely one of the most humble, amazing, nice people I've ever met.
Well, because I remember, you know, I know you knew who
Jack
he was.
Percy?
Jack Pearson? Oh, man.
Percy, yeah. Pearson.
Yeah, Pearson. That's all right. He messed up Charles Whitfield's name, so you got him back. I'm holding a Whitfield guitar right now, by the way. But how is old Charles, man? I haven't talked to him.
I actually just talked to Charles the other day. And
his shop burned down.
Yeah, his shop burned down. So he's finally, he's bought all new machines, right? Like tooling and stuff. And he's back at it. He's back at it. So
he's making an art... car top yet?
I don't know that. I know he just made one for Joe Walsh, and the story about that is completely cool, but I promised I wouldn't tell anybody. So,
dude, Joe Walsh is a trip.
Everyone in podcast land, I'm sorry, just understand that Joe Walsh is probably one of the greatest guys that walks this planet. That's based cool. on what he did for Charles Whitfield.
So, well, same thing with Vince, man.
Yeah.
You know, Vince Gill, that was probably... The coolest thing, I always tell people, I can quit playing guitar now because he didn't even really give me a direct compliment,
right?
But I choose to take it as that way.
No, it was a great compliment. So you gotta tell the story.
Okay, so yeah. we were Nashville NAMM, and you know, one thing is don't get me wrong. It's like I was telling Brian, you know, I was practicing the other day, and you know, it was like, nah, I think I'm all right. I don't feel like practicing. But I don't think I'm this great guitar player. But I know I'm not, you know, terrible, right?
Right.
But I don't see myself.
But you're not practicing for a world tour next week.
Exactly.
Either,
so. You know what I mean? So it's like, so I would like to say I'm humble, but also know that, you know, I'm
you're still doing
right.
fine.
I can do it for work, but I do it for fun.
Right.
So for me to put myself on a pedestal is not what I do, because I would much rather teach than play. But
right.
So anyways, Vince Gill walks up, and of course, I mean, like, at Brian's exact words to Vince Gill was Travis is the little girl to your Elvis, which is true. So Vince comes up, and he was like, yeah, can you play that one?
No, actually, I think I said, you were Travis's Elvis.
Okay, yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
You were Travis's Elvis. But anyway, so he comes up and, you know, he's like, hey, can you play that one? I look up and it's Vince. And that was really the first time I was kind of starstruck, you know, because it's like, man, that guy's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just an amazing human being from what I know.
You know?
But so I look up and it's Vince, and I was like, I do the thing that you do. You take your guitar off. You stand up and you hand it to Vince freaking Gill. You don't play guitar for Vince Gill.
I'm not playing. You play.
Yeah. He was like, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to hear it. I'm going to focus on other things. Yeah, I just want you to play it. I was like, oh, my gosh, no. So, you know, I'm just playing A chords, G chords, and D chords, you know, because that's what you do when you demo a pedal. I mean, you're not going
to... No, everyone wants to hear your take on...
Yeah, everybody wants to hear your take on entered song.
Yeah, just go to town. You know what? Just completely shred the fretboard for the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, because that's...
Words mentioned.
Yeah,
No names mentioned.
I know what you don't have to. But, so to me, it's like if I'm demoing a pedal, which, you know, one thing I do pride myself on was when I worked for you, I took it seriously. It's like, I was there to do a job. I was there to demo pedals. I demo pedals. I wasn't trying to push my career. I wasn't handing out business cards, you know.
I do the pedal thing on the side, but by the way, you might want to buy my album. Here's a download link.
I was not that guy. I took it very seriously. So, like, when Vince came over, I was just playing A chords, G chords, and D chords. And every now and again, I'd play a little lick.
Well, you're playing chords, but you're noodling over the chords.
Well, right. So, yeah. I mean, I was playing a little bit.
So, you're doing your thing.
Yeah, I was doing my thing. But I was not thinking at all, like, I got to really try to play my ass off. Or at least,
right.
I can't mess up because Vince Gill's here. I didn't care about that. My thing was, I didn't want to misrepresent the pedals and get in trouble. You know what I mean? Not that you're a slave driver, but it's like there's a big ticket guy here.
What are we gonna do? Travis, you totally missed a seventh there.
Right.
What the hell?
Well, no, what I'm saying is I was more focused on, like, you know, well, the open switch does that, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
So anyways, after I'm done, Vince walks over to him and says, thank you, super nice. And, you know, I talked to him about getting him some pedals and stuff and, you know, do all the business stuff. And he goes over to the, I think it was like some guitar straps or something. And then once he was done, I kind of just let my hair down a little bit and I started playing. And then he turned around and he came over and he looked at me and looked at my guitar and looked at me again. He goes, by the way, be careful playing like that around here. And I was like, oh my God, why? You know, I said, I looked at him kind of puzzled. I said, why is that? He goes, you'll wind up getting a job. And so I told him, I go, I need 2 weeks for Brian. I got to tell him, I give Brian 2 weeks and then I'm ready, Vince. Everything went out the window. Now my fanboyness went out. But no, I mean, Vince Gill told me, be careful playing like that around here or you'll get a job. So to me, it was like, I think I can quit playing guitar now. That's it. I'm done.
I've reached the pinnacle.
You know, it's like, well, where do you go from here? Down. That's the only place. But no, that was cool. And then we were fortunate enough, Brian's good friends with Phil Bradbury, who makes Little Walter amps, killer amps.
Yeah.
But they host this artist endorsee jam or whatever, and you know, Brent and Vince were there. And remember that time we couldn't find a place to sit, so Dan Huff's wife said, hey, just come sit at our table. Remember that?
Yeah, happens all the time.
And then he played the most killer version of oh my God, the Jeff Beck number. Because we ended as lovers.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I seriously had goose pimples from it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Vince was there and I got up and I went to use the restroom. And then as Vince was walking out of the restroom, you know, we did the awkward thing. Like, I'm going left, you're going left, we're going right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just stopped. I was like, sorry, man. He goes, it's all right, Travis, man. You know, I'll just see you back out there. I was like, he remembered my name.
Totally fangirl.
Yeah, I did. And then, but I fangirled. I was a fangirl, fanboy over gear. Like,
over where?
Over gear.
Over gear.
So, like, I'll admit it, and I'm probably going to catch some slack for it.
You should catch flack. I hear that yeah, that's right? Better.
But no, I am not a Steve Vai fan musically. I'm really not. You know, I mean, I appreciate everything. Is he one of the greatest guitar players on the planet? Absolutely. I just wouldn't choose to listen to it. But I got to hold Evo. That is one of the most iconic guitars in history of electric guitar.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, to me, I tripped out on that. You know,
when did you do that?
When we went to the show with Dave.
Oh, I forgot about that, man.
Yeah, we went to that show. There's a you can't say Rig Rundown because that's owned by somebody. But
right, but we did a thing backstage.
Pedal Profile or something.
Yeah,
like that.
With Dave Wiener on
our
YouTube channel.
I wanted to call it Pedal File, but everybody said that walked too close to another word.
I think if people like Google Pedal File, I don't want Wampler pedals to come out. like that's bad.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That and like, you know, whenever. Whenever the same thing, this endorsee jam.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So Brent's 68 Telecaster. I mean, people know about that guitar. It really needs no introduction.
Right.
But the funny thing is like if I had that guitar or a guitar like that, it would be in a hard shell case, always laying flat or some secured. Not Brent, man. It was in a worn out gig bag, propped up against a table. And the case was open. The top of the case, it may have even been broken. And I saw the headstock, and I looked at it. I was like, hey, Brian, dude, look. So Brian just grabs it and hands it to me. He says, here, dude, check it out. Some home Brent Mason's 1968 Telecaster. I was a fanboy. And I was like, oh. You know, it's like, you know, that's what I fanboy over. I think that was cool, man. Cause,
right. I love to do that stuff. Like, we just did a video with Brent in the studio. It's been about a month ago, I think. We did, like, the Hotwired. And basically, okay. I'm just like... Like, Brent was getting ready to do a demo. And I'm like, Brent, like, I'm just going to put this up here. I'm going to set some cameras up. You just talk about what you do with the Hotwired.
Right.
You know, like, don't, like, you just tell...
It's not a commercial.
Right, it's not a commercial. You just tell people, like, why you, like, what you use it for, how you set it to do your stuff. And, you know, just...
Max is
just,
calling. We should put him on the podcast.
Just chill. No. So anyways... I lost my train of thought. Totally.
Sorry. So you're in Nashville doing the thing with the Hotwired. Talking about 68.
I forget where I was. Oh, yeah. So a buddy of mine was like, like we got everything done. And he said, Brent, well, you know Elmo, right?
Yeah. Who?
Elmo.
Yeah.
So Elmo's like, hey, Brent, like, you know. It's cool if I play your guitar? And Brent's like, yeah, dude, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, do it, man. And so, like, Elmo's picking it up, and he's like, holy crap. You know, like, this is freaking awesome, right. Man. I'm playing Brent's guitar.
Mason's guitar.
Like, this is, like, the waitress song guitar, you know?
Yeah,
like,
this is every song guitar.
Yeah, like, he's, like, totally just, like, you could just see, like, the lights and the skin glow.
Meeting Brent, hanging with Brent was cool. Yeah, like, playing his guitar,
like,
man.
Just, like, that experience was so cool to him. Like, and I love to be able to bring that to him.
Yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? That's something he's going to be forever.
Because some people think, like, it's just unapproachable. And,
no.
and to Brent, like, dude, this is my hammer. I'm just a carpenter, and this is my hammer, dude. Yeah,
right.
Play it,
exactly.
Man. It's like, don't throw it against the wall, but, like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, play it, man.
Yeah. You know? It's kind of like, I forget who I was talking to. But somebody wanted to play one of my guitars one time, and I offered my guitar. They're like, no, I won't play that, man. I won't play that. I was like, I know what it was. My buddy Ed has a 63 Strat. I played it in the Bravado video.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, anyway, somebody, I was like...
Quick pause. Someone said, dude, like hands on hips. Is that really a 60 Strat?
Yeah, is it
legit? That was one of the comments yesterday. Yeah,
I saw it. I replied to it. I don't know.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I said, well, kind of. It's a refinish.
Okay.
You know, it is a 63
Strat.
No,
we have every reason to lie.
Yeah. Right. No, it's a refin, but I mean, but it's still a refinished 63 Strat. Still worth some pretty good money.
Right. Say
what?
I said, so anyways, with that.
Yeah, so anyways, so somebody said something about a guitar, and I handed it to them. They're like, no way, man, I'm not playing that. And I was like, when's the last time you dropped your... And I was like, why? They're like, what if I drop it? I was like, okay, when's the last time you dropped your guitar? Well, never. Why would you start now?
you know what I mean? Are you, trying to throw it around your neck?
Yeah, I know. Well, who do you think you are, Brian Wampler?
Prove it! Look, I bet you can't even throw that around your neck.
No, you said you could do it. All I said was prove it. Hey, and you were like, I should have said,
don't,
I wish you would.
Don't tell a Martinsville redneck to prove it.
Good point. Because next thing you know, it starts with, hey, hold my beer.
That pretty much, yes.
But
and by the way, anyone that doesn't have any idea what we're talking about, that goes back to a video on our YouTube channel where I broke the neck off of a Stratocaster because I tried to prove to Travis that I could indeed throw the guitar around my neck, and I failed.
Well, no, you did throw it around your neck. You just didn't return it to center.
That's true. I did throw it around my neck. I just failed to receive the guitar once it went around my neck.
I still watch, and the best thing is
that's now on every guitar fail video ever.
And it's so funny because I swear once every month or two I'll get tagged in that video somebody I don't even know.
Me too.
And
me like, too.
Dude, is that you and Brian? Yep, that's me and Brian.
Yeah, that's me.
But
and then I like you'll see like, oh, it's funny. They're like, dude, this guy's such a jerk, man. He just tore up his guitar.
Yeah, it was staged. I wish I had enough money to just break a Fender Strat.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you have no idea. Like, I had to take my guitar to Bill Stoltz here in Martinsville.
By the way, that dude, man.
He can work on some magic. He can work some magic on guitars.
He's refretted 263 Strats for me.
Mm-hmm.
God, I just sounded so pompous. Oh my God, I am that guy. But I trusted him to do, I mean, those, I don't know how nerdy you are on guitars, but 1963 Fender, to cut costs, instead of doing slabs of Brazilian rosewood, they did veneers. So it's very, very thin.
I didn't know that.
So like, it would be a straight veneer on a 60s, you know, what, a 60 to 62, mid 62.
Sure.
And then mid 62 to like 65, they did veneers and it's very thin. So the problem is refretting one of those guitars, you can do it a couple times, but after that, you literally start getting into the maple because there's no wood left.
Gotcha.
And you have, I mean, and if you do a refret right, you take all the frets out and you plane the board, you know, to clean it up and get it straight again. Mm-hmm. But one of these guitars, one of these 63s, was it was to the point to where it was like, do you retire it or do you refret it?
Right.
And I took it to Bill, and Bill's like, man, I'm not getting the maple, but let me try it. It's perfect. The guitar has never played better, and it's not in the maple. I don't know how he did it, dude.
He's always been that way. He's just been great. You know? So yeah, and yeah, so I broke this neck completely off this guitar, and I took it to Bill, and he's like, Brian, what'd you do? What'd you do this time? And like, Bill, like, it was stupid. Like, Travis was egging me on and like,
oh, come on.
You know, he was like shoving beer down my throat. And like, I don't remember if that happened, but I mean, like, he was like, he kept like, you know, trying to get me to throw this guitar around my neck and I was feeling peer pressure. So I did and I missed. And he's like, I can fix it. I can fix it. So yeah, he put a neck on it that's even better than the original neck. So it's like, it's actually, I'm kind of glad it happened.
Yeah.
So thank you, Travis.
Yeah, you're very welcome. My favorite thing about Bill is Bill, I mean, well, I know when he was born because I have a guitar that was the same year. So he is 62.
Okay.
So he understands, but he's not an old timer.
No,
he's really not
no.
that old. He understands that guitar is kind of, the popularity of guitar is kind of going down.
Yeah.
And so he will do anything it takes to get a young person into guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I was at his shop and he had a guitar on the bench and I was like, what's that? He was like, well, this kid, you know, wants to learn how to play guitar. So put some parts together for him. You know, his old neck that was broke, I fixed it. An old body that had rerouted, da 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 da. And I took all the, it basically took all these used parts that he'd stripped off old guitars, gave the kid a guitar, man. That's awesome. And I know of other stories to where people will, you know, kids will come in and be like, hey, I broke this or whatever. And whatever it is, he's got spare parts that he's, you know, stolen from old guitars that were trashed and just, or harvested, I guess you could say.
Right.
And he'll just put those on there and not charge the kid, you know? And it's like, God, we need more Bill Stoltzes in this world. Keep the guitar going, man. I saw somebody on the face page today post something. They said the 80s got rid of the horns and the 90s got rid of the strings, you know, with all the, you know, advancements and technology. And then the 2000s got rid of the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just basically saying, when is guitar next?
And the 2010s got rid of the music.
Yeah. Well, the problem is they don't allow ugly people to make music anymore. So,
hi, I got a song I'd like to play for y'all. It's called Country Girl Shake It For Me. Country Girl Shake It For Me, girl.
And another thing, too, is, man, I'm not the world's biggest Rolling Stones fan. I like them, but I dare you to go back. Seriously, do this. Go back and listen to Wild Horses and tell me it's not one of the most beautiful performances, but tell me it's not also one of the worst performances you've ever heard. Like, by today's standards.
But in a good way.
That's what I mean. Like, it's pitchy. It's produced. I mean, it's everything about it. And it's like, it's just awesome, man. That's what's gone for music today. And now you have all these competition singers.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
Well, you know, I was last evening, actually, I was talking to Randall, who's the steel player in Brad Paisley's band.
You just dropped the name.
Hold on. Let me pick that name up real quick. Hold on. Let me pick that name up. Anyway, so I was talking to him, and I was telling him, like, Randall, you realize, like, you guys are probably the last band ever. Like, really, the last band. Like, you got Rush. All these guys who make the recordings, the same guys that play live.
Right.
You know? You guys are the last freaking band, dude.
Yeah.
Like actual band, not the not Hired Guns. Right. Not, like, that's what you mean. Like Like Zac Brown Band is one as well.
Yeah, I mean, the, we were talking like, you know, people see him in concert like, wow, you guys sound exactly like the record.
That's because Brad's on the record.
That's because this is, we're the band that's on the record. Yep. Like, we're not hiring guys to come in and do this or that. You
Brad's
know?
Drummer is stupid good.
Oh, ridiculously good.
I don't even really like drums that much, but I could go watch him play drums, just himself. Unreal.
Yep. And all of them are like the nicest, best, down-to-earth people you'd ever want to hang out with.
The thing that cracked, you know, going back to Justin, because we mentioned him earlier.
Was the fiddle player. Fiddle and mandolin. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to him, and that guy still busks on Broadway.
Yeah.
He goes down on Broadway to sit in for free.
For fun.
For fun.
They do it for fun. Randall does too. Yeah, they all... I've seen Ben Caesar, the drummer. Like, those guys, they always do stuff like that just because they love it.
Yeah.
You know, they just really, like, they really legitimately love it.
I'll tell you one thing, and that, you know, personally, I found myself not liking guitar a couple months ago. About 8 months ago, I came to a point, because it had always been my life. Play guitar, write songs, you know? I mean, look, I'm not trying to gripe because I worked hard for it. It's what I want. Careful what you ask for. But, you know, I did the record label thing. I did the international touring thing. I did all that. And then it became a job. And then it was like, well, okay, well, I gave that up. But I still have to work in gear with you. I have to work. I have to gig. I don't have to gig, but it's what I've always done. So I just do it. And, you know, God bless me with the ability to be able to supplement my income with music. Got to be stupid not to do it.
Right.
And then I got a new job that kind of led me to another place to where I was a little more comfortable and stuff. And then I realized I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I started turning gigs down to hang out with my family. And I was like, and I finally, I'll never forget, I was talking to my wife on the way. We were just driving. I was like, oh, Stace, I don't know what's wrong with me. Why is something wrong with me? You know, I don't like guitar, da 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 da, and I don't like playing guitar. And then it hit me. I said, I don't like playing guitar, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
No one says you have to.
Right. But at the same time, when it's your life, you feel like you have to because that's your persona, that's your brand, that's everything you're doing. You're Travis Feaster, the guitar player. You're Brian Wampler, the guitar pedal maker.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And there's definitely times where I'm like, you know what? I am so freaking sick of pedals.
And you're so much more than that, dude. I mean, you have your irons and so many other fires. But finally, I got to a point.
Mostly my dancing moves.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I like to.
Fred Astaire Dance Academy.
that's my buddy Jake.
Exactly.
That's my buddy. Yeah, yeah. My dancing is more like I like to dance in the bars. You know,
you pop and lock, bro. Do you know pop and lock?
I have no idea what you're talking
Google
about.
Pop and lock. That stuff's awesome. Dude, if I could dance, if I could pop and lock.
Or I don't even know what pop and lock is.
Dude, it's fantastic. It's like when they look like the robots. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah,
the robot dancing moves.
Yeah, or they look like, but like it's a whole new, that's popping and locking, bro. You even pop and lock? I don't know why you wouldn't.
No, I just like to do the Martinsville shuffle, you know? 1 foot to the left, 1 foot to the right. Well,
the best thing is your left hand always has a beer in it.
And your left hand always has a beer.
And your right one is always exposed to the gun position so you can put your shooters at the hot ladies.
That's right.
You gotta click the thumb back.
Click the thumb back and you see a fine looking woman.
Yeah.
How you doing, girl? You wanna do a dance? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying.
But me realizing it was so funny, I spent all this time being miserable about not liking guitar. And then literally the second that I decided it was okay to not like guitar, I loved it again. Isn't that stupid?
I totally get it.
I needed
totally.
That breakthrough. As soon as I realized, oh my God, it's okay to not like guitar. Because I got to the point where people were like, dude, let's get together and jam. And I was like, that sounds like the worst thing in the world to me.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing I want to do is go over and just jam. What's the point?
You know what's weird?
And I was like, when did I lose that?
I went through, well, I've been through that exact same thing with playing for sure. Up to the point where, you know, I was playing with Eddie Van Zant here in Martinsville for a while.
Yeah, super nice guy.
And like the business started taking off, and so I'm like, dude, like I got kids,
can't juggle it,
and I can't like my kids come first before playing. And
it's
like,
not like you know, work a 9-to-5 job.
Right, right. So I'm like,
I work a 5-to-9 job.
Right. So yeah. So like I can sit in every now and then, but I said, Ed, you got to find another guitar player, man. I just like I'm holding you back at this point. And around that time, like I was noticing that just my heart wasn't into that anymore. And like now I get, like, for example, we're getting ready to go to NAMM in Nashville.
Is that coming up already?
Yeah. Yeah. In July here, next month. So, you know, I look forward to going down there and just sitting in with some guys. I mean, last year I played the Little Walter gig.
Sat in
with Ira Dean, who was the guy that started Trick Pony.
Okay.
So he was the bass player on Trick Pony, like does Big Rider, does producing, like all this stuff.
No pressure.
Like, well, that's always like, he's like, dude, let's do some Trick Pony songs. And I'm like, dude, I used to cover your stuff.
Yeah. I know,
like,
him already.
I got this, Ira. I know these songs, man. So I got to play it with the guy that wrote the song. And so like, that was so cool. And he was just set, like, we're still friends today. He's just that nice of a guy. Even though he used to hang out with Johnny Cash. You know, he's like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows everybody in the industry.
A funny Johnny Cash story.
And he's just so just meeting people like that, just so amazing. But anyways, so I guess what I was kind of getting to in a very roundaboutish way is there was a point in time where, like, the pedal business was just wearing me the crap out.
Absolutely.
And...
Well, I remember... And as an outside looking in, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when I first started working for you, I came in at a very, very exciting time. And within the first 6 months of my working for you, you could argue that that was one of the biggest growth periods for you. You know, maybe not. I don't know. But that's whenever became.
We were working out of a house.
Out of a house.
Out of a rented house.
Out of a rented house. Yes. And I remember, I mean, we all worked our butt off. And I remember that, but I forgot what I was going to say.
And then you got sexy, lost my thought.
Yeah. But no. I'm blaming the beers. Oh my god!
Well, let me finish it for you.
Yeah. Okay, so
I went through that period, and what got, like, literally, I thought because I got a bunch of pedals on the shelf.
Go ahead.
So I just started modifying pedals again.
Really? I didn't know that.
Started back, not for like people, but for me.
Right.
You know, so like I bought like a couple SD1s and DS1s off of eBay, and I'm like, you know what?
Why not?
I'm just gonna like do some new stuff. And so I put out a couple of videos like how to make the metal zone into like an EQ pedal.
I saw that video.
And how to
that
make
was
it
cool.
into an overdrive. And that was all just me like, you know, like
going back to your notebook.
Just going back to like the very beginning. And go like, this is just fun.
What?
You know?
The thing is you still have them. I don't know if you said as of a couple of years ago you did, but you used to have notebooks piled up of all your old notes. Like he would
Here's
sit
a couple.
There. Yeah, you would sit there and he would just. I could just see Brian probably in his basement. Yep, those are the notebooks. But all of the original notes that he made from back in the day when he was any guitarist, just modding pedals. But what I was going to say is I remember seeing that. It's like when I first came on. I came in, I'm not going to say I came in at the ground level. I mean, it may appear that way, but there was a lot of stuff going on for a long time before I got involved. But
The overnight success took about 10 years to get there.
Exactly. But I came in on the cusp of the overnight success.
It came when things, the exponential curve were things.
And it makes sense because that's when you could hire somebody. Is you could tell, hey, I need somebody else to kind of come in and help me.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I also remember I stayed long enough to where I remember I don't know that was the height of your stress level, but it had to be pretty close. You know, now I think you've kind of figured out how to manage things a little bit better. Tomorrow could all change.
Yeah.
It could all change tomorrow.
I mean, it goes up. Like, there's always, you know, the thing I noticed, especially about being in business, especially being a, you know, not a guy that went to college, barely graduated high school. Right. So, like, I'm not like, I don't have an MBA somewhere. Like, you know what I need to do? I need to start a pedal company. The first thing I'm going to do is write a business plan.
Exactly.
Like, no, like, I just like, I'm just going to build some pedals, man. See what happens.
Right.
And then I sold some and I built some more and I sold some more and I built some more. And like, yeah.
Thank God the industry is the way it is. I mean, yeah, it's cutthroat. It's got its moments, you know, but at the same time, these guys like Robert Keeley, there's guys like John Cusack that if you need something, you can call those guys and ask them for advice, and they're not going to be like, okay, now I'm going to bill you for an hour. You know what I mean?
We're all kind of that way. So like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's another, I don't want to mention his name, but there's another well-known up-and-coming builder that is popular right now. And, you know, he was really struggling with some of the more businessy stuff. Like, as he's scaling, he's like, here's what I'm going through, man. I don't know how to handle this, like, internally.
Right.
You know? And so I'm like, dude, let me help you.
Save you some trouble.
Yeah, let me help you with this. Like, what are you going through? He's like, explaining it. I'm like, okay, so don't do that. This thing is normal. You're going to have to learn how to live with this and just breathe. And you're going to have to decompress. You're going to have to make a time for yourself where you do nothing. You turn your phone off. You like go out in the woods and sit for an hour or whatever you got to do.
Or your version is burn things.
You get a bunch of wood and furniture that your wife won't notice is gone, and you make a big ass bonfire.
Yeah, just watch it burn, man.
Right. If that doesn't work, run it over with your tractor. dig a deep hole. Fill it in. Fix some trees. Whittle sticks.
Dude, that guy's blown up. That guy, Granger Smith.
Yeah, Granger Smith, yeah.
He's blown up.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
But no, he good business sense, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, man. I am so thankful. I mean, because the business I'm in is cutthroat. Like, it is the most cutthroat thing. On a daily basis, I see it.
Totally different than the pedal business.
Oh, my God.
Where we're all like, hey, man, do you happen to know where I can find any of the, you know, capacitors of this value? Yeah, dude, where, I got some. How many you need?
For my industry, it's like, hey, let's work a deal together. Okay, cool. So you work a deal together between, you know, a buyer and a seller, and then you have two guys working the deal, representing them. And then the next thing you know, the other guy's like, okay, well, I know this guy wants to do this. So let's just cut him out of it. Whoa, you can't just cut me out of it. You know, so no, that's the cool thing about the gear industry is, I mean, I know obviously there's going to be competition, but one thing you've told me, even like when you strip it down to the podcast thing, you know, 60 Cycle Home Guys, that pedal show, Chasing Tone, you're really not vying for new listeners because all the listeners kind of listen to the same
shows. We share listeners.
Exactly. You share listeners and you share customers, you know, because it's so awesome, dude. I still belong to all these gear groups because even when I didn't like guitar, still liked gear, man.
Right.
I had the best sound in A chord in six counties. You know what I mean? I couldn't play anything
you
else.
That A chord.
Yeah. Quang. But.
And Marshall never sounded any better.
Exactly. Exactly. Like that one night I texted you a couple months ago. I was like, dude, did you hear that? You're like, what? I live like 8 minutes from you, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, dude, did you hear that? And you're like, hear what? I was like, I just played the best sounding Marshall tone I've ever heard in my life. And it was so loud, I'm sure you heard it. And, I can imagine you reading this like, shut up, I'm trying to go to bed.
I doubt if it was before 3 a.m.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, man. I do that.
So let's wrap up part two of Life with Travis Fischer.
No, more. I think this one actually stayed somewhat on topic as far as meeting your heroes.
Mm-hmm.
We covered that, right?
Yep. Meeting the beloved Vince Gill. Did some Nashville stories. We talked about, I can't read my writing on that one, so I have no idea. We talked about friends in the pedal business.
We did talk. Yeah, and that is cool, man. That is. And the thing, and to wrap it back up, I know a certain builder had some personal issues, and you even, you know, it was like, he's not bashful about him.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I went through some stuff and I came out on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm smelling like roses now because I went through the garbage.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, I mean, that's like, awesome. You know, I tell this to, you know, friends and family that are going through stuff. And I tell everyone, everyone's got their baggage. You know, it doesn't matter who you look at. You look at the most famous person you can think of or the person that you look up to, whether it's me or Robert or, you know, whoever. We're all going through things and we all have demons we're fighting and we all
Absolutely.
Have problems and we all struggle with stuff. Like, nothing is nearly what you see is what we not that. I say what you see is what you want you to see, but really what I mean is
well, that's
what
social
you
media.
See. Yeah, but what you see is like something that might give you hope or happiness.
Right. Like, it's a product of what we've been through.
Right. I'm not going to post, damn, man, I had a hard time paying my electric bill this month.
Right. Exactly. Or it's like, dude, you know what I want to do? I want to start on my Facebook page just taking like, I'll do real quick. I know this is way off subject, but sure. I got a new theory on selfies. Sure. Okay. This is going to hurt some people's feelings. All right. You ready? But it's a truth that everybody needs to hear. If you've ever taken a selfie and you took more than one to figure out which one to post, it's because you're not as good looking as you think you are. Am I wrong? I've done it. I'm talking about me. This is a self-realization. I took a selfie and I had a guitar and I was like, oh man, my chin looks big in that one. Oh no, oh my hair. And I was like, holy crap, I have this image of myself of what I should look like because I think,
I think you missed the golden trick. And
what's that?
You have to do the duck a little bit so it elongates your chin.
I guess.
And therefore, it gets rid. That's what the kids have told me.
Oh.
It gets rid of, makes your face look a little bit more.
Okay.
You can't see that on audio.
Think
but,
about that, though. If you take more than one selfie to figure out which one you're going to post, it's because you're not as good looking as you think you are anymore. You may have, what you have in your head, of what you look like, and if you look at it on a actual, like the other thing too, I realized, like if you see this girl and she's gorgeous and you're like, oh my god, she's so hot, and then you see a picture of her and she's not hot, that's because your head has built her up as she's hot. Right? So that's a good catch, because that's a good catch. That's a good thing.
Every time I take a picture of myself, I'm like, oh wait, I don't have any hair. Wait, well, I still don't have any hair. What?
That's my theory. People are going to hate me for it because they're going to have to come to terms with it. It's the truth.
Famous last words from Mr. Feaster.
Absolutely.
So thanks again for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can always email me at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Hope you've enjoyed the last two episodes with Travis Feaster as well. Hopefully Max can come over sometime as well. And, you know, we'll do some more. I always enjoy having those guys. So thanks again for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.